your electronic device. Look at your neighbor's Bible if you don't have one. Ask them to share their device with you, that we may receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our soul. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. I pray that you're reading, even when we're not together, studying, even when we're not together, enjoying, even when we're not together, growing, even when we're not together, in the privacy of your secret place fellowship with the Master. Amen. You know, there are many voices out there that are teaching the Word of God, some good, some not so good, but that wants that personal, up front, up close, where he can commune with you, and you can commune with him, and y'all can feast together on the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell him to open the eyes of your understanding so he can speak. Nobody can teach you better than the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is the teacher. He's the helper. The Bible says he's the intercessor, the advocate, the counselor, if you will. Amplified breaks it down when Jesus said, when the helper comes, the Spirit of truth, that paraclete, one who came or comes alongside. But Jesus also said he shall not only be with you, but he shall be in you. The Spirit of God, the very Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, lives and abides within us. He's the best teacher. He's the best helper. Hallelujah. Glory. And there's so much that he wants to release in and through each and every one of us if we just allow him to. Amen? Amen? Amen. You know, the most difficult thing is not getting over others, but getting over ourselves. We can be our worst enemy. We can limit and hinder and restrict the power of God from moving within us as he wants to, either out of ignorance, out of fear, or, you know, just, and when I say ignorance, I'm not just saying, you know, like dummies. We all come to God ignorant, unknowing, but he doesn't want us to remain that way. So we soak up his word like a sponge. Amen. Because that's what our spirit hungers for. Our spirit hungers for the word of God, hungers for fellowship with God. Our spirit hungers. And so when we feed our spirit, we're doing a good thing. Amen. Bible study is a good thing. Personal time with the Lord is a good thing. Fellowship with him is a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Amen. Even when you're going through your day, keep your mind stayed on the Lord. Well, I got to focus on what I got to do. You can do that too. Praise God. Yeah. You can do that too. You can be doing what you need to do, and your mind can still be on the Lord. Yeah. Don't just let the mind just wander and go in various places without you putting restrictions and, you know, bringing those thoughts captive and directing them in a direction that they need to go. If we never discipline, because this is something that we have to work with. This is what Dad entrusted us to do. I give you my word. I give you my spirit. I give you a new heart, a new spirit within you. You are spiritually alive to God now. But I want you to do something with your mind, your will, and your emotions. I want you to discipline them and train them, because if you don't, they'll continue to run wild. If you start to discipline them, they will come into alignment, divine alignment, and life will be a whole lot better. Praise God. Amen. All right. So in the book of Ephesians, one of the most powerful books, I believe. It's not the only powerful book, but it's one of those because it gives the revelation of the church. And when you look at the state and condition of the Ephesians before Jesus came there and visited them and people started getting saved, they were into all sorts of things. They were their primary worship. They worshiped the goddess Diana. They practice idolatry, they practice sorcery and witchcraft and all. They studied fortune telling and things like that. They had, you know, they were out there. They were heathens. They were worshiping false gods, if you will. And the gospel was brought there. And even after they had that great move of God, the thing of it is if you don't stay on top of your relationship with God, you'll easily drift back to the ways of the world. But with the church at Ephesus that Jesus spoke of when he wrote, when he had John on the Isle of Patmos and gave him that revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, one of the churches that he wrote to was Ephesus. They had left their first love. They had abandoned the love that they once had when they first fell in love with Jesus. So there's a lot of history in about Ephesus that's in the scriptures in the book of Acts. Paul talked about having fought beasts. He told, I think it was Timothy or Titus. I believe it was Timothy. He fought beasts at Ephesus because some of them became so unruly and so against God that he had to deal with those sorts of things. But here in this letter, this epistle, we find out who the church really is and that really nobody is excluded from this. We don't have to try and trace our lineage, and I'm not mocking anything like that, so don't nobody go there. But we don't have to try and trace our lineage to see if we're connected to the Jews somehow. Maybe we might be in, you know, of the tribe of Judah. We might be of the tribe of Levi or Simeon or Zebulun or Naphtali or, you know, one of them. Maybe we might, you know, be in that lineup. No, we don't have to be. We don't even have to search that. We didn't grow up Jewish. Okay, we grew up in America. And thank God for that. We grew up in the wealthiest, most powerful country in the entire world that has had the greatest system of government that the world has ever seen. And God manifests that here in America. Praise God. People could talk bad about America all they want to. There's no greater place. Yeah. That's the key thing. Is that, oh, we had all of this, and we had racism, and dot, dot, dot. And I'm not ignoring any of that. But still, our government is the best government. We may not have good representatives right now. But, you know, our government system is the greatest in all the world. Yeah, so with that being said, you know, people who don't like America is like, okay, well, go to some other country. Go over there and live and behave the way you behave over here in America and see how far you get with that. Yeah, you know, I'm not mocking. I'm just saying, making a statement. You know, what happened to, what was it in North Korea? I can't remember the gentleman's name, but that was just, you know, that was a tragedy for the family and all. But, you know, it's those types of things that go on outside of our country. So we need to thank God that we're raised up and we still have the freedoms that we have in this nation, even though they're being threatened themselves. The righteous have to stand up. You know, people have to stand up and represent and, you know, speak to power, if you will, when power is getting out of hand. It's chaos right now, but, you know, still good things are happening in this nation. Amen? So, we don't have to try and be somebody else. We're grafted in. We might have been the wild branch, if you will. We might have been that wild olive branch that was grafted in to the original olive branch, if you will. But we're in it. We're in the vine, and the vine is in us, praise God. So, we're in and we're blessed as a result, and we don't have to hope and wish that we were something other than who we are. You understand what I mean? I mean, now that we're in God, we don't have to wish that we were Jewish, okay? We don't have to, they really got it good over there. No, we all got it good now. As a matter of fact, they have to come into the promised blessings of God the same way we do now. We don't lack anything. That's for all of us. This is why believers have to live not by the world system and not by the culture, but by the kingdom, kingdom rule, kingdom power, kingdom might, kingdom dominion. See ourselves the way God sees us and let nobody else try and redefine us as to what they may think we are. Amen. We're blessed men and women of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the older we get, the better we get. Praise God. Yeah. I got to say that again. The older we get, the better we get. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, because we keep growing. We're supposed to anyways. We keep maturing in the faith. If Dad was through with us, we'd be gone. But because we're still here, Dad's still doing stuff in and through us. Praise God. Old men dream dreams. Young men see visions. It all contributes to the body of Christ. Paul talked about the gifts of the Spirit, whether it be word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecies, discerning of spirits, tongues and interpretations, whichever they are, it doesn't matter. Paul says, since you're zealous for spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel in them for the edification of the church. Praise God. Keep getting better and better. Seek to excel. What does that mean? That don't mean seek to stay the same. Seek to get better. Yeah. Seek to grow. Keep living. You're not a plant that is all of a sudden, I reached maturity, and so now let me just stop. No. We want to be vibrant, fruitful, productive for the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Until we're in that casket, getting ready to be buried in that grave. We're alive to God, dead to sin, and still thriving in the sun for the glory of God. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Live. Praise God. That's what Dad says to us. When we're drowning in sadness and sorrow and depression and discouragement, God says, live. Praise God. I saw you struggling in your blood, choking off of what you're dealing with and going through. Dad says, live. Come alive. Hey, praise God. Yeah, I didn't come into you to die. Praise God. Dad don't need a human casket. Oh, praise God. I'm getting silly. Getting drunk as we go. I'm making sense. He didn't come to reside in a human casket. Closing the lid. Nobody knows what I go through. Dad don't want to even hear that song. Praise God. Oh, man, I'm sorry if I get excited myself. But he don't want to hear those kind of songs. This is the day
that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. Ooh, I will rejoice and be glad.
That's what Dad wants to hear. Then Dad says, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Praise God. So then prison cells start opening up. Yeah. Shackles begin to come off. Freedom begins to manifest, and the glory of God gets to be revealed, and his mighty power be made known. Yeah, so anyways, he's writing to the Ephesians, and this is a letter that's good for us too, because he's letting them know, this is what you got. First of all, let me tell you what you were delivered from. You know, you were dead in trespasses and sins, and you were serving the devil even though you didn't think you were. Under the influence of demonic power. And, you know, people think, and it's the carnal mind, it's the carnal thought, it's the way the world sees and views things. And, you know, in the eyesight of man, you can be viewed as a good person, but in the eyesight of God, you can be wicked. And Dad doesn't reveal to us that we're wicked to condemn us. He reveals to us that we're wicked to save us. We have to recognize where we came from or what we're still in if we haven't come to the saving knowledge of the truth that is in Christ Jesus. We have need of him. Yeah. And so then when he comes in, when he rescues us from the pit of hell, when he rescues us from sin, when he rescues us from the devil, when he rescues us from destruction, then he wants to start to do things within each and every one of us that bring glory and honor to his name. And we will give him glory. Hallelujah. The Lord did this. Abraham turned down the spoil that was going to be given to him. And his reasoning and rationale was, no, lest you say that you have made me rich. No, God is the one who has made me rich and wealthy. He may use people, he may use situations and circumstances, but he's the one who makes me rich and wealthy. Praise God. And we ought to be content with that. Yeah. Giving glory and honor to God. So, anyways, in the book of Ephesians, we've already talked about it. I don't mean to continue to go over these same verses over and over, but they're good. So let's begin with verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, which he is, Jeremiah said, your mercies, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. God is rich in mercy, loving kindness, tender mercy, compassion, if you will. He's rich in compassion. And when we come to him humbly, that is like open arms, come. You know, we could have made the worst mistake, committed the worst act of sin, but if we genuinely, sincerely repent and turn towards him, that's like, come on, I got enough mercy to cover that too. Yeah, because I want you in right position. I want you in right relationship. I don't want the relationship to be severed or cut off or you to be far off from me. I have brought you nigh by the blood of my son, so I don't want no more distance between us. I don't want no more separation between us. I want perfect union, harmony. Come on, let's make a symphony. Let's make a song together. Let's fellowship. Let's dine, if you will. Let's bask together for the glory of God. Get intimate with the Father. That's what he wants. Yeah. Because that's how Dad can produce fruit within us. That's how a man and a woman are able to produce when they become intimate with each other, a husband and a wife, if you will. And the result is offspring. The result is love and affection towards each other. The result is commitment. For his great love wherewith he hath, wherewith he loved us. And truly, Dad loves us. This is all in verse 4. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. That word quicken means made us alive together with Christ. Let's see what the Amplified, I think Amplified probably says. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive. That's what he says. Made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ Jesus. Union, 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 one with him. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. Everybody take a seat for a minute. Just go ahead. Just take a seat. Everybody that's standing. Everybody take a seat. Just take a seat. Everybody, it's okay. Ushers, it's okay. You take a seat. Everybody that can hear my voice, take a seat. Everybody sitting? Brother Tim, you're sitting? Take a seat. Take a seat. Take a seat. Minister Patton, you sitting? Yes, sir. Anybody in that child's room over there? Yeah, we've been sitting. Praise God, let me stop. Are they sitting? Oh, okay. Oh, praise God. Okay, forgive me. Forgive me for being me. Hath raised us up together. Glory be to God. This all took place after Christ rose from the dead to die no more, was on the earth 40 days straight, seen by over 500 at one time, and many of them, when Paul wrote that epistle, were still alive at that time, who had seen Jesus having been risen from the dead. And so after those 40 days, on the 40th day, a cloud descended, and the Lord Jesus Christ was caught up in the cloud, and he was received up into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father and to ever make intercessions for us. When Jesus was raised up, we were raised up too. So right now, physically, we're sitting in 1793 Vineyard Drive in the city of Antioch, 94509 is our zip code. That's where we're currently located, and some are down at 1787 Vineyard Drive in the MP room in the city of Antioch. But our spiritual position, our spiritual place is right there with Jesus, sitting in heavenly places. We are raised up. Now, you may not feel like you're raised up, and you may not feel like you're sitting at the right hand of the Father, right along with Jesus, but that's where we are. Even though our physical bodies are here on the earth, we are raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The very place where we are blessed with all or every spiritual blessing, where we have received all things that pertain to life and godliness. But yet we're on earth. And the reason that we're still on earth is to live out what God is revealing to us through this word. Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So how does it get done on earth? It gets done through you and I. Whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You see how the responsibility comes into, I'll just say it like this, comes to us, it's given to us, it's entrusted to us. Jesus, surely as he rose from the dead, said, "All authority, all power is given unto me. Go and preach the gospel." In other words, go and execute kingdom power and authority. The work that I've begun, you go out and you complete this. Where I am, you are. And where you are, I am. I sit at the right hand of the Father, and you sit with me. I'm the head, you are the body. We are connected. We are one. The head sends forth the messages to the body, and the body responds. And this is how Dad gets things done in earth as it is in heaven. The very reality of how Dad rules in heaven is the reality he wants to bring here on earth. Remember, I shared earlier about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And Dad has extended, I know the people who are probably watching the camera only see just that, but that's good for them too. Dad has extended his kingdom to where it's not just the kingdom of heaven, but now it's the kingdom of God that is expanding throughout his universe, and it's manifested here on earth through the church. He was using the Jewish people, not that they were special, not that they were goody-goody two-shoes, not that they, Dad told them, "Look, I set my love on you. That's why you got called and summoned. But you were stubborn, stiff-necked, and rebellious." So they were worse than even the heathen that were considered heathen of that day. But Dad sent his love and affection. Why? Because he had to manifest it through somebody. And so he used the Jewish people of that day, the Hebrews, if you will, of that day. He was going to use them to win the world to the saving knowledge of the truth leading up to Jesus Christ. But you see, as the scripture says, he came to his own, and his own didn't receive him in John chapter 1. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. He could not come to the Pharisee, the Sadducee. He could not come to the religious leaders. He had to go to a fisherman. They were raised up Jewish, but they were the lowliest. He even came into this world not through a rich, wealthy queen. He came through a lowly maidservant named Mary, who happened to be a virgin. Joseph was a Jewish man, but Joseph, he was a righteous man. He was not a religious man in the sense of he was a compassionate one. I'll put it like that. Because he could have easily upheld the law and said, have her stoned to death, for she has violated our engagement by getting pregnant, and I'm not the father. But he didn't even entertain that thought. What he did was, being a just man, he did not want to harm her, but sought to put her away privately and then go his own way. Nobody would have known anything. But the angel visited him and said, this thing in her, ha, praise God, this thing in her is of the Holy Ghost. So we come to the church in Ephesus, and they're not the cream of the crop, if you will. They're not one of the churches that, you know, is just booming and, you know, full of growth and just, you know, everything going on perfect. As a matter of fact, Paul wrecked their economy because they made a lot of their money through idol worship. So Jesus comes on the scene and they got to lay down their idols. You read it in the book of Acts where they had to have a conversation about this. You see how, my word, paraphrase, you see how this man has wrecked our economy? People aren't buying our statues, our little, you know, images. They're not buying them anymore. And so we're going to have to do something about this. Because great is Diana of the Ephesians, and he's a threat to her. So they gave him a difficult time. This was a background, a little background of the church at Ephesus, and yet Paul bringing revelation to them, saying, look, it doesn't matter what your background was, and the mere fact that you are having a tough time financially, let me tell you about your heavenly empowerment. Let me tell you about your heavenly riches. Let me tell you what's going to bring you out of that poverty state of lack. And that's that relationship. Let me tell you where you are positionally. You might feel like you're low. This is why you can't afford to be ignorant any longer. You can't afford to just skate on the level of understanding of God that you're at now. You got to keep on going and keep on growing. Amen? Your relationship has to come to maturity. And even at the stage of maturity, you continue to bear fruit. And that fruit just continues to come forth. Yeah, you can stand up now that I'm back up here. How was the rest? Praise God. Just being silly. You continue to bear fruit, even in old age. That's what the Bible says about you. You don't die just because you're getting older. You don't get ready to be put in no grave. Yeah, you get to a certain age and all you're thinking about is your funeral arrangements. That's miserable. Well, you know, one day it's going to happen. Well, you know, one day it could be the rapture. But anyways, he tells them, this is where you're seated. Now, if we believe God has power, and we believe Jesus has power, and we believe God is on the throne, and Jesus is on the throne at his right hand, the angels surround the throne, crying out, holy, holy, holy. Angels stand before God, watching his mouth to see if he's going to utter a word to them, because they pay close attention, because they will hearken to his word and go and carry out the assignment. They wait, and here we are seated. Praise God. Yeah. Yeah. Seated in heavenly places in Christ with him. Jesus spoke of being at the right hand of the Father as being at the right hand of power. Jesus is at the right hand of power. Obviously, we're at the right hand of power too. Difference is we use that power here in the earth while we are yet here. While we are yet here. This is our spiritual position. It may not mean much to you, but it means everything to me. This is our spiritual, and this is what we operate from. We don't operate from the carnal. That's why we can't get anything done. Stop operating from the carnal. Operate from the kingdom. Operate in the realm of the spirit from where you are from now. You are no longer just flesh and blood. You are a spirit being. You are a spirit with a soul, and you live in a body. Use this body to glorify God. Let your spirit man thrive in the wisdom and knowledge of God to execute his will here on the earth. Yeah. What God talked about in the old covenant pales in comparison to the blessing and favor of the new covenant. So if the old covenant had anything good, we've got something much better. And so we pursue. He says again in verse 6, and hath raised us up. Wait a minute. Praise God. Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You mean I'm sitting? I like what Pastor Rod says. He says, where you sit, you intend to stay. And he uses it in a negative term. I just take it to the word of God. Where I sit, I intend to stay. I am risen in Christ Jesus. I am seated in heavenly places. I am going to stay there. You're spacey. You're spooky. No, I'm real. I believe, therefore I speak. You act like nothing bothers you because everything is good in the heavenly places. Ah! It's only miserable on the earth. This is why we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, because it's awesome up there. People who have died, went on to be with the Lord, and then came back, they wanted to stay. God said, you got to go back. They wanted to stay. Why? Because it's so much better there. This is why the word tells us, since you, and Paul says it to the church at Colossae, I'll quote the second part. Seek those things which are above what Christ is. Yeah. Because then all of a sudden, all of the messy stuff. Because see, you, when I do this, tell me what I'm imitating. Yeah, you're right, bird. But you are right, eagle. Eagle. The Bible says we mount up with wings as eagles. We wait in the very presence of God. We wait on the Lord. We mount up. Eagles fly above the storms. Eagles soar. Yeah, they get to the highest heights. So they're not troubled by the lowest lows. Praise God. Next time you're troubled, try going up. Hey, yeah, let's just soar above that stuff. Yeah. And if you don't think you got a right to it, you better think again. You're risen with Christ, and you're seated in heavenly places. Guess what? He talked about in chapter 1, far above principalities and powers and might and dominion. You mean I can? Yeah, it doesn't have to happen when you die. It happens while you are alive here on earth. That's our position now. It's not future. Yeah, when we die, we all go to heaven. Listen, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Guess where we're going to be? We're going to be on a new earth. Yeah. Yeah, we have access to heaven. We'll always have access to heaven. But that's going to create a new earth. And it's going to be like he originally intended it. Only there won't be marrying and giving in marriage. And all who died in Christ will live for eternity. For the glory of God. New Jerusalem. Christ coming down to reign on earth. Yeah. We'll be in glory just for heaven, just for a temporary time. Then we'll be here on earth. And we'll enjoy it for all eternity. I don't know how Dad's going to take us on field trips, but I know those, it's probably called space trips. Come on, let me just take y'all through the universe and let you see the wonders. But we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. All the former things will be done away. The devil will be done away. The beast and the false prophet will be done away. Sickness and death will be done away. Everything will be glorious. So, he wants us to experience now. And this is why Jesus told us to pray the prayer. He wants us to experience now the way Dad runs things in heaven so that they can be executed here on earth. Yeah. Yeah. And if enough of us get the revelation, we'll turn this thing upside down for the glory of God. Because right now, Dad's concern is for souls, whether they're our loved ones, our sons, our daughters, our grandkids, or what have you, our parents, grandparents, and all, you know, our worst enemy. Dad wants to save them. Yeah. And he wants to use us to do it. So we seek those things which are above, where Christ is, so that they can be manifest here on earth. Not that we're just seeking so that, I wonder how it's going to be in eternity. I wonder how it's going to be in eternity. No, Dad wants us to, no, Lord, I want you to unlock. I want to see, what needs to be done now here on earth like it is up there? So we can see the glory of God. Yeah, amen. Stand to your feet. I kept you long enough. But you soak it up. Soak it up. And don't you worry about a thing. Don't let worry be a part of your life. I don't know how things are going to work out. We believe, therefore we speak. Yeah, and sometimes we all need encouragement. You know, every now and then we need encouragement. You know, it's like, keep running, keep running, keep running. And we keep on running. You can do this, you can do this. But don't drift back to the old man, the old woman, the old nature. Keep running for the new. Keep running for maturity. Keep running for change. Change personally, and then change externally in the lives of others. Let's run this race with energy, with power from on high to be manifest here on the earth. Amen? 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 Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise if you really believe that. We believe, therefore we speak. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. All right. Father, we thank you. Watch over each and every one of us as we head our way. See us safely to our destination. Let no evil befall us, no plague come near us, and no hurt, harm, or danger come our way. Guide us safely, I pray. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus, the love of Abba Father, and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost be multiplied and increased in all of your lives. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. the name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell won't prevail against you. In Jesus' mighty name, be blessed. Amen. All right. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.